don't listen too closely. Otherwise, yeah, you're just going to be like, Hello and welcome to the EuroWhat, episode 222, dropping on March 12th, 2024. We are a pair of Americans trying to make sense of the Eurovision Song Contest. I'm Mike McComb, and I'm here with my co-host, Ben Smith. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Mike.
In this episode, we'll be talking about the end of selection season 2024.
That was a surprisingly chill weekend to finish things out.
Yes, I love this pattern that has been going on for quite a few years now, where Portugal is the last selection show, and it's going to be the last one because it starts very late in the day, and it's just the right vibe to just go off into the sunset, you know? Mm-hmm. We had a couple of internal selections come through earlier in the week, the first of which was Australia and Electric Fields. I love this choice. How about you?
Like, Australia Decides had like a very strong alumni class. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy that as they've been doing internal selections, they're going, we should ask them. That would be fun.
I was at work when the video came through. Eurovision was being very secretive about who the artist is going to be, and it was going to be revealed when the video is revealed. I had checked Blue Sky first and saw some people just going, Electric Fields! And then, like, my immediate reaction was just like, oh, of course. As you were saying, like, Australia is doing something that I think a number of countries should really consider doing. Have a couple of national selection shows, build up a talent pool, draw from that pool for the next couple of years. This is a fantastic choice. And it was just like, oh, it's so obvious in retrospect.
A few days before this drop, they played a very small snippet. It was basically just like some of like the little twinkling synths in this. It was so small that like it could have been anybody, but like in hindsight, I'm like, oh, of course it's them. Apparently, when they said happy 2000 and whatever, they meant 2024.
I think it set the tone for the week in a way where it's just like the term world music gets thrown around quite a bit, mm-hmm. and it really does feel like this sort of generic Barnes and Noble type category where it's like, oh, anything that's not like what Sweden's selling. We will get to that in a moment. But it does seem like this is kind of setting the tone for the remaining releases for almost the rest of the field.
I've been listening to this one a bunch. Part of me would love something a little bit more in the vein of Happy 2000 and whatever, or Lie to Me, the track that they did with Kano. Mm-hmm. But I trust that we're going to get a really good performance out of this.
I agree. Yeah, like I really like the performance that they did when they were in Australia Decides. I think it is kind of their style where it is just kind of like hook on top of hook on top of hook. Just don't pay attention to the lyrical content because you're just going to find things that are kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. Like back in 2000, whatever, like the whole millennial Monroe, that kind of line is just like, and here it's like the Fleetwood Max and the Janets. And it's just like,
I had completely forgotten about the millennial Monroe and like, it just immediately made a face.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just like, oh, like the rest of this is good. Just like, just don't listen too closely. Otherwise, yeah, you're just going to be like,
Yeah. The places where I'm not making that face, it does skirt uncomfortably close to me to like Jessica Mauboy's We Got Love of a little bit too hug the world generic.
Yeah, that is fair.
That one was okay.
Yeah, that we can go into that one offline.
We're making that noise a lot. Yeah.
Yes, but first impression, I'm very happy with this choice, and I'm looking forward to kind of sitting with it for a couple of weeks and seeing how it balances out. I'm really looking forward to seeing a live performance of this one.
Yes.
I'm not worried about it. I'm just like, oh, what tricks are they going to have up their sleeve?
A few days after Australia, we got Greece's entry from Marina Sati, which was Zari. I love what's going on in the video. There is something so thought through about how she wants to present herself and this song and Greece. Song-wise, I'm like, okay, but like without the context of these visuals, how do I feel about the song? And I'm still sitting with that.
Yeah, I've just been on such an emotional journey with this song since it was released. Because, like, the first time I listened to it, it was, like, kind of hitting me in the reggaeton place. Mm-hmm. And reggaeton just bounces off of me. Like, I just have a very difficult time engaging with it and really kind of finding nuance with it. Mm-hmm. The more that I'm listening to this, it's like, oh, okay, there's a lot going on here. The music video, it's so savagely hilarious. Like, yes. Like, to the point where it's just like, wait, are we the guy in the car? Because I'm feeling hurt if that's the case.
Yeah, like there's such a savage critique of tourist culture. And I'm just thinking, like, I've been reading a book by Kyle Chaika, Filter World, about algorithmic recommendations and sort of the flattening of culture that's come from that.
Yes.
And part of it is about going to places because you saw a friend post about them on Instagram and you want to take that photo of that waterfall too.
Yep. Yep. And and I think that is hitting exactly what this song, or at least what the video for this song, is trying to express. I think that is brilliant as a song that will need to be performed on a stage live. I am deeply, deeply curious how this is going to work.
Yes.
It feels so esoteric in a lot of ways, and it will need to grab people immediately, or there's just no chance to grab them, like, over the course of the song. I think Grease has a very interesting challenge ahead of themselves, and I really hope that they are able to deliver on it. If they are able to kind of tell the same visual story that the video is able to tell in their stage performance, that's going to be awesome.
Like, yeah.
Very excited about that.
The entry that it's reminding me of in terms of kind of conceptual presentation that really has a chance to not translate in 3 minutes on the stage, Telemoveas from Portugal a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The one that jumped to my mind was Future Lover from last year, where it is just that kind of same, like, very deep critique happening. But then how do you get that to happen on stage? But yeah, I like the Telemoveas comparison as well.
Instrumentally, I like what's going on. It doesn't feel like it has the standard verse chorus structure we expect from a pop song at Eurovision. Like, there's a lot of space for dance. And there's various different little fragments that all kind of fit together into an interesting mosaic. But, like, is this going to translate? Again, I don't know how they're going to stage this, but I'm really curious.
Yes. And, I mean, given what the overall stage concept is with all of those moving pieces, they've got a lot to play with here. This one's been growing on me in, like, the 3 or 4 days since its release. So I'm very excited to see how enthusiastic I am by the time May rolls around.
Good job, Grace.
Hopefully you can, I was going to try to do some sort of sports metaphor here. It's like, I have no idea how that would work.
Nope.
It's just like, carry the ball over the line. You can do this.
Saturday, instead of like 17 different finals to watch, it was just the two. And one of those two was Sweden. I have watched one of the Swedens live. Hooray. It was good. I did like the very We Are the World staging of Tattoo at the beginning.
Yes. Yeah. Have you seen the Greatest Night in Pop documentary?
I have not, but I'm culturally aware that it's about that.
Yes. And like, that was what immediately jumped to mind. It's like, you know, I would actually be kind of interested to see a Melfest take on a similar style documentary. But yeah, highly recommend. A couple friends of the show worked on it, so check it out. It's just a good story. A lot of 80s fashion. Oh my god, Pinstripe Lame came up in my notes. So
okay, I'm in.
Yeah, so but we're not talking about that movie. We are talking about Melfest.
Yeah, and it kind of went how I expected it to, in that we had the performances. We did have a very delightful interval act, the Bjorn Zone, the infinitely multiplying boy band.
They presented it as, like, song 13 in the lineup, and it's like, I'm kind of voting for song 13, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, like, I was on board with song 13. I don't know how they're going to stage this for Malmo. There's so many of them, and only 6 can be on stage.
Holograms, nothing but holograms.
Is there anything in the rules about the vocalists taking turns on stage? So as long as there are only 6 of them at any one time, we're safe.
Yeah, or like the Dustin the Turkey rule of they're all on carts, so as long as none of their feet touch
only
6
of their legs. Yeah, 6 of them are touching the stage. I'm just picturing like a human pyramid where like 6 of them are the base.
Yeah.
We will not be getting Bjorn Zone. We will be getting Marcus and Martinus.
She's
big swing to name your song Unforgettable.
Yep. Yeah, just huge chutzpah to go Unforgettable when it's this.
I don't think Sweden was really spoiled for choice this year. Compared to the other songs that we're talking about in this episode and the whole world music vibe, this is the opposite of that. This is just such microplastic. It's
yep. Yeah. Yes. Oh, microplastic is great. I do like the use of the word venomous. It makes me think that the woman in question is a scorpion.
The thing for me about this is it really feels like it has been sitting on the shelf since Lipstick in 2011, where it's just like, okay, we need twins. Maybe it's just like the fact that Usher at the Super Bowl was pretty recent and does kind of sound like something that would be on the radio around the time, like that, like 2010 era when Usher and Neo were like dominating the radio. Then it got me thinking of how this sounds a little bit like The Weeknd and his performance at the Super Bowl where he's wandering through the Hall of Mirrors.
Like the Hall of Mirrors.
Yeah. It's like, oh, their staging is kind of reminiscent of that. So, yeah, this is the Super Bowl halftime show performance entry.
Again, I find it wild that we're doing a We Brought Our Own Staging from Home when you're the home team.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as somebody who has now been in the audience, I'm just like, that's going to be annoying for the people who are on the sides of their big light walls.
I mean, I guess it depends on how it's set up. I'm trying to remember how... I guess it wasn't the same sort of problem with Benjamin Ingrosso's stage back in 2018.
Yeah, that was just like one big light wall behind him and just a bunch of tight camera angles.
Yeah, it wasn't the panini press on the side, or I guess trash compactor. The decoration of the wall thing is reminding me of the trash compactor scene from Star Wars.
So, yes, yes, very, very much so.
Yeah.
It's like that mixed with the room from Jim Jamiroquai's Virtual Insanity.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now I do kind of want to see Marcus and Martinus in Jamiroquai hats.
When we're bringing back Y2K fashion, we can't just bring back the good things.
Yes.
We need to bring back the terrible things, too.
Oh, flare jeans for everybody. There we go. Pull out my high school wardrobe. You're speaking my language. All right.
It's sort of the same sort of solid Swedish entry that they've sent for the last 5 years.
If they had to go through the semifinals, I think this would still be safe, but that's the problem. It is safe.
It's safe. It's not really doing anything that they haven't done. I don't know. I feel like we have done a lot of yelling about Melfest and just it's getting stale. I don't think it's necessarily a decrease in quality. I think this is the level of quality that Melfest has been at, but just like everybody else is stepping up their game.
Oh, yeah. So many of the other countries have caught up to what Melfest has been doing. And like it has been that way for a while. When five of the songs are written by Jimmy Choker and the other five are written by Thomas Jason and the Debs, it's just like we can get into this deeper in the off season because I know that we have gut rehab level thoughts of what Sweden needs to do.
I'm making such a spreadsheet about this.
Awesome. I don't have much else to say about Sweden. Oh, except that autocorrect did help out when I was putting information about this track in the docs. It accidentally changed Martinus to Martinis. So if you need an idea for your Eurovision menu, now you have a free one. So
there we go. Oh, also, they're Norwegian.
Oh, yeah. I believe they won, was it Junior?
Melody Grand Prix Junior.
That was it.
And the Masked Singer 2022.
At least they're finally getting to go. It looks like they really want this. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm glad that dreams are coming true. I just wish it was a more enjoyable song. Anyway, speaking of dreams coming true, the end of selection season 2024 and Portugal's Festival de Canção. I love that this is the capper to every season. Like, it usually starts with a group number. They had a very delightful couple of group numbers over the course of the show. The hosting team, it's fantastic as usual. Philomena, I'm so glad that she's been introduced to our lives because she just has this sparkle in her eye that it's like, oh, you are in good hands when she is hosting the show.
Can we just get like a 30-minute television program where on a weekly basis she encounters new Swedish words?
Yeah.
Because that would be appointment television for me.
Yeah, like just the way that she was saying Melba. Such a treat. The final had 12 acts performing. There were 7 juries across all of Portugal and had their scores come in, converted to 12-10-8. I know we've been griping about that this season, but this is how Festival de Canção has been working, so it's fine. And then televote results, and the winner was Yolanda with Grito. Chama que ainda arde, ainda arde.
I like Portugal's vibe. I like how things generally have shaken out for them in the last few years, even if everything in their lineup is not to my taste. This is nice, and again, like, I like the vibe. I like how this fits in and provides, I keep calling it structural stability, of just like, oh, this is a thing that we've needed in the lineup this year, now that we have, like, a number of weird little dudes that are threatening to just sort of make the stage collapse.
Yeah. The fact that she's opening the song a cappella, and it's just such a strong vocal. Like, it's just like, this is a solid vocal performance. Sometimes you just need that. Like, you don't need it to necessarily be, like, the poppiest pop song. It's just like, nope, this is vocal talent and song talent. And yeah, I think they are delivering on everything that you would expect from a Portuguese entry. And I'm glad that this was the winner. Although I thought that they had a couple of good choices in the lineup and a couple of songs that I was like, oh, I really like this. It shouldn't go to Eurovision, but I really like this and will probably be in my playlist.
What ended up winning the televote, like you mentioned as we were sort of watching along, that was just sort of like Portuguese muse. And like, I was very into it.
Yeah, Joao Borges with Pelas Costuras. And yeah, and it was funny because they interviewed him in the green room shortly after his performance. They like asked him what his musical influences were. Did not mention muse once. It was like, huh.
Shoot him an email. Hello, are you familiar? We feel like you might enjoy this.
I thought we were going to get through the show without the obligatory ABBA medley. That was not to be, but I think this might have been my favorite ABBA medley of the season.
I actively enjoyed it. Like, I was just like, this is great.
They had Black Mamba from a couple of years ago, Annabella, who represented Portugal in 93, Mimi Cat, who was their representative last year, and To Cruz, who represented Portugal in 1995. I think it was the live instrumentation that was really selling this. And I think they were picking some of the ABBA songs that were not in some of the other medleys this year, to the point where I thought they might not do Waterloo. They ended up closing out with Waterloo, but mm-hmm. I like their version of Waterloo too. Like, they kind of gave it a gospel flair.
Yeah, like, there was just more interpretation happening overall across all of the songs in a way that I really appreciate. Because, like, if you're gonna do an ABBA medley, put some of your own sound in the mix.
Yep. And you could kind of get the sense that I think maybe each act picked their favorite ABBA song to throw into the medley and get it to all flow together. It wasn't just like, these are the five songs that you have to use. Figure it out amongst yourselves. It's like, oh no, mm-hmm. I really like Voulez-Vous or Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. Like, that, this is the one that I want to do. It's like, oh yeah, this worked out beautifully. And a good way to end this very weird selection season. We have almost all of the songs for Eurovision this year. And the ones that we don't have yet, we at least have information about them. We're recording early on Sunday, and scheduling is making it impossible to catch up with the songs as they drop, hopefully by Monday. Hopefully by the time you hear this, we will have all of the songs that are in contention. Israel is dropping their song Hurricane on Sunday afternoon U.S. time. That has gone through some rewrite process. There's been a lot of back and forth over the last couple of weeks, but Eurovision has approved Israel's entry, and it will be live by the time this episode has dropped.
Yeah, and then Nuza Buzalade, Georgia's entrant, is going to be revealing Firefighter on March 11th.
Azerbaijan announced that Fari will be their representative in Malmö. He was on the shortlist of six singers that were still in contention for their selection. There had been another list or some sort of news report that had that narrowed down to two acts. He was not one of them, so interesting. No word yet on when his track is actually going to drop. I don't even think we have a song title yet.
No. Well, and I think it's a similar situation with Armenia. We now know that it is La Daniva, who are a world pop duo based in France. They're very popular amongst the Armenian diaspora, which that's cool. That feels like a big thing that they're being tapped.
Again, don't know when they're going to drop. I have a feeling it's going to be another case. It's just like, okay, well, Azerbaijan released their artist first, and then Armenia released their artist, and it's just going to be like, okay, who's going to blink first? So,
can the two of you get done playing chicken in the pool? Party's over. When the little press release that came along with La Daniva did mention, like, you're going to hear from us soon in the next few days. So, you know, sometime this week.
Monday is the submission deadline, but as is usually the case, there are some songs that will get revealed after their deadline. All of their stuff, I assume, is with the EBU. They just have, like, some control over, like, when the public gets to access this stuff. But, you know, public wants it now. So once these songs drop, we will be at our full complement of 37 songs.
Coming up is going to be our review series. We're going to be doing a deeper dive on 5 to 6 entries each week with a special guest. The next 3 weeks will feature the first semifinal. We're switching up this year. We're going to do things more or less in the chronological order of when each song was selected. We're also going to be doing this format for the second semi, but Patreon supporters will also get a Megamix episode to hear our reviews for each semifinal in its correct running order once we have that.
In the meantime, for our Patreon listeners, we are going to be releasing our The Ones That Got Away episode in the next week or so. So these will be the songs that didn't make it out of their national selections, but that we still have space in our heart for. So it's always a fun trip down memory lane of the last 3 or so months. I guess it's been a little longer. This was a selection season that got kicked off like way back in 2023, if you want to feel old.
We're at like the weird time where I'm like, it's already over, but like, it's also feels like it's finally over.
Yep. Speaking of finally over, that's going to do it for this episode of the EuroWhat. Thanks for listening. The EuroWhat podcast is hosted by Mike McComb. That's me. And Ben Smith.
That's me. If you'd like to help support the show and get access to past and future bonus episodes, head over to patreon.com/EuroWhat.
Our full coverage of the 2024 Eurovision Song Contest can be found on our website at eurowhat.com. You can also follow us on social media at EuroWhat.
Next time on the EuroWhat, we kick off our semifinal review series talking about Slovenia, Ireland, Luxembourg, Ukraine, and Finland. Party's over.